hope everybody's recovered from their Thanksgiving festivities. As Zach said, I think everybody's probably gained a couple of pounds. I know that I have, but it was a really good time. So there's a lot of people that are away this weekend. There's probably a lot of people that are visiting with friends. So if you're here from out of town, welcome. And this is Crossbridge. So thank you very much for coming. So, okay, show of hands real quick, although I can't see because of the lights real well. But show of hands, who's put up their Christmas decorations already? Wow. So I would do the other one, show of hands, how many people are dreading to the thought of it. But I know that's me. I'm sure it's not just me, but it seems that every year the Christmas season starts earlier and earlier. And this year, it seemed like in the shops and everything else that Thanksgiving was just an afterthought. The day after the 31st of October, after Halloween, all the websites, all the shops, everything went straight from ghost to Christmas trees. You know, and it just seems like it goes so fast. And I know that as soon as the 26th of December comes around, we're going to have hearts and Valentines and everything else, and people are going to be going, their head's going to be exploding. But today we're going to be talking about a different season. We're not going to be talking about the Christmas season. We're going to be talking about the official start of another season. Now, the football fans might be thinking, oh, the playoff season is about to start. No, we're not doing that. But today is the start of Advent. And some of you might not be familiar with Advent, or you think about Advent as just being, you know, that little calendar with the stale chocolates in it that you open up, and you start out with day one and hope that by the day 25 there's actually still some chocolates left. But I know that never happens in our family. It always ends up that about day three they're all gone. But so Advent is about counting the days to Christmas, but it's a lot more than just that $1 stale box of chocolates. And this morning we're going to be talking about the church's season in Advent. And to get us started today, I'd like the archers to come up. We've got a reading.
So God gave a promise that a Savior would come. For many years, God's people waited and hoped. In Bethlehem, long ago, Christ came just as he promised. This candle reminds us that our hope is in Christ, who keeps his word.
Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When the time had fully come, God sent his son.
Just wait is not a favorite phrase. Our impatient generation's vocabulary is filled with words like fast, quick, and instant. Whether it is food, service, money, or technology, we don't want to wait. Please wait is not what we want to hear. Have you ever examined a Christmas package anticipating the surprise inside? Have you ever rattled a present? Waiting to open presents builds anticipation. It is not an easy task for the curious and eager. God's people waited in anticipation for the promised birth of Christ. The Bible encourages us to wait upon the Lord. This is a special kind of waiting. It means waiting with hope, not wait and see what happens. It is not just the passing of time, it is anticipation. We have God's promises to anticipate. He cares for us. His plans are good, not evil towards us. We can trust him, and he keeps his promises. The first mention of God's promise of Christ was to Adam and Eve. Imagine that. He had planned his promise before he created the world. A Savior would come, a King, Christ. Every day, all year, God's people waited, reminding themselves that Christ would come, just as God had promised. They waited, they watched, they hoped. He would not come sooner than planned, nor later than scheduled. At just the right moment, Jesus came. Christmas declares, God always keeps his promises. In his way, in his time, he asks us to wait with hope. He promises to return, he promises to come into our heart, and he promises us pleasant surprises. Let us pray.
Thank you, Lord, for keeping your promise to come into our world. Thank you for your many promises kept and anticipated. In the name of Christ, the promised Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks, Laura. And at this point, the third to fifth grade can be dismissed to Sunday school. What a beautiful picture, guys. It just the lighting of the first candle and the hope. So Advent. Advent's not a word that we use in our normal vocabulary. But it's a great word. Advent means the coming or arrival of something or someone that is important or worthy of note. A lot of people might like the advent of television or the advent of computer. The season of Advent that we're talking about in church obviously heralds the coming of the most important, the most worthy of note person, Jesus Christ. Advent on the Christian calendar, it's the season that starts 4 weeks prior to Christmas and it continues through Christmas itself. And today is the beginning of Advent. This year, Crossbridge has decided to just be a little bit more intentional during our 4 weeks leading into Christmas and into Christ's birth with a four-part series called Love Revealed. Each week of Advent, we're going to be looking at one aspect of God's love as revealed in the birth of Christ. So growing up, I remember our church lighting the Advent candles, like the ones that we have in our Advent wreath. Although I think my parents would have probably preferred these ones a little bit more than the ones that we had, lit flame next to dried fur. But these ones here are as good as we can get here in the school auditorium. But every time that I saw those candles on Sunday morning, I saw the different colors, but I never really understood the significance of the colors. Each candle is lit during the 4 weeks of Advent, and then finally the white one is lit on Christmas to remember Christ and what his coming did for us. The purple signifies our reflection on God and his sacrifice of sending his son to us. It also reflects the call to repentance, our call and our confessing of our sins to God and acknowledging that we need his salvation. The pink signifies hope, the hope and the joy that we have of seeing Christ coming. And then finally, the purple also signifies the royalty associated with the king. And as I said, on Christmas we light the white candle, and that represents the purity of Christ as he came. Advent's that season of preparation. It's the anticipation for the arrival of Christ. Think about what that means. How eagerly do you anticipate the day when we celebrate Christ's birth? Think about how excited your kids are as they anticipate Christmas. I was thinking about that picture, and to me that excitement is not a linear excitement. It's like each day it gets double. It's like, ooh, Christmas is coming, it's closer, until finally that day, the Christmas Eve, they're just so excited they're about to pop. They can't get to sleep because the next morning is Christmas. That's how it is for the church with Advent. Each Sunday brings us closer to the celebration of Christ's birth. We get to celebrate Christ's coming for us. Christ, the Savior, is coming. It's exciting. And each Sunday, we're going to be celebrating that together. Over the next 4 weeks and into Christmas Eve, we're going to be anticipating Christ's birth, God's ultimate act of love to us. And we're going to look at how that act of love is revealed through different aspects in Christ, and then how we, as God's people, can reveal that love in our lives and in the lives of others. Growing up, my Christmas celebration was different than what I celebrate today. I'm sure that's how it is for most of you. You have some traditions that you keep and some that you don't. My family and I have lived around the world, so we've lived in different countries and seen different traditions. For example, in Australia, on Sunday or on Christmas morning, we would have a church service on Christmas morning prior to opening up all the presents. In England, when we lived there, Boxing Day has a special significance. Each country, each person, each place that we go to, they see Christmas a little differently. Now, here, I think we can all agree that we're blessed to be able to celebrate Christmas with family, just in relative safety and comfort. It's not the same for everyone around the world. You know, sometimes I wonder, but what if it was the same? What would it look like if everyone around the world had the same shot at an amazing Christmas? You know, in our comfortable surroundings, and we sometimes tend to look inside and not really look out. Christmas becomes all about ourselves or about our family, and we forget that Christmas needs to be shared outwardly. God's love, His Savior, is revealed to all the world. Today we're going to be looking at a scripture in Isaiah 42. It's a short passage. It's Isaiah 42, 1 through 4. But it's a really important one. So we're going to unpack it a little bit. Isaiah was written in a time of turmoil for the Israelites. He was a prophet that foretold the Israelites' captivity in Babylon. He also foretold their release. And in this passage, he tells of the Messiah that's coming to save Israel. But the Israelites were looking inwardly. When they read this scripture, they read it and they saw it inwardly for a Messiah that saved them, one that would come to bring justice to them and judgment to others. So Isaiah is one of the prophets of the Old Testament. He lived about 700 years before the birth of Christ. The book of Isaiah, if you want to turn to it, is found about a quarter of the way through the Bible, near the middle of the Old Testament. If it's on your phone or tablets, it's a few books after Psalms and Proverbs, and it's just before Jeremiah. So, and as I said, even though Isaiah lived during a time of upheaval, the northern kingdom of Israel fell during his lifetime, his message to the people was one of faithfulness in God and hope in the Messiah to come. So let's take a look at Isaiah 42 and read about the Messiah. So in verses 1 through 4, Isaiah talks about God's servant. Here's my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. You know, I think right now, as Adelaide mentioned, there's things going on that we can agree that the world is a pretty messed up place. We have wars that seem to go on forever. We have attacks that leave us uneasy, that seem to happen every day, famine, disease. Sometimes it's really easy to ask, what the heck? What's going on, God? What is going on? But read verse 1. It says, there's hope. I will put my spirit on him. Isaiah talking about Jesus. He will bring justice to the nations. Jesus is going to bring justice. When bad things happen, that's sometimes what we want, right? Justice. Think about that. What do you equate with justice? I asked a few people prior to this message as I was putting it together, what do you look at for justice? Is it a positive thing? Is it a negative thing? And the answers I got is justice means they got what they deserved. They got their just deserts. And on the opposite side, I heard justice means fairness. So where does it stand? What about you? What do you equate with justice? So maybe if you have kids, you think about the Justice League. They're going around and, you know, doing justice for the world. Or maybe justice to you means bringing the killers to justice, law and order style. You know, iced tea will get you if you do something wrong. You might say that justice was done a few weeks ago when the U.S. carried out an airstrike that took out Jihad John, the ISIS member that was shown on videos beheading captives. Maybe justice was when France retaliated within a week of being attacked with more airstrikes. Isaiah said that the servant, Jesus, would bring justice to the nations. So was Jesus coming back to bring the nations to justice? Was he going to come back and get back at the nations that had turned their backs on God? At first glance, you can take that passage that way. And, you know, you can look at it and say, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to act as a judge and a jury over all the nations. And the Israelites, some of them saw the Messiah as coming back that way. They felt that he was going to come back. He was going to be a conqueror. He was going to get justice for the nation of Israel and judgment for all the rest. And while, you know, there's going to be a reckoning, when Jesus comes back, we're going to have to answer for the sins that we have. When he comes back again, we're going to have to answer. But in this passage, Jesus' justice, his love revealed in his birth, is something completely different. Some of you may remember a few weeks ago when we prayed as a church for the people of France after those terrible terrorist attacks. One of the things that Pastor Jimmy mentioned that before we started to pray is that we do not pray for the destruction of people. We pray for God's love to be revealed to them and for them to be changed. As hard as it is to fathom, that's what God's justice is. A level playing field for every single person. Jesus' birth was about justice, not judgment. Justice is impartial. Judgment can be so emotional. The Hebrew word that is translated for justice in the scripture in Isaiah is mishpat. Mishpat means the order that God seeks to reestablish in his creation, where all people receive the benefits of life with him. This word, mishpat, is found over 200 times in the Old Testament. 200 times. Mishpat is what Solomon asked for when he prayed for wisdom. He asked God to give him wisdom so that he can provide mishpat, judgment, for the children of Israel, so he can govern fairly and provide order for the whole nation. So before I go on, I just want to real quickly give a shout out to Abby Ackley, who this week, without even knowing the message, wrote a great article. And if you look in your bulletins, it's got a link to that article. It's an article on justice. I offered her to come up here today and give the message, but she declined. But it's a great, great message. But it just proves that God confirms how important this subject is to God. So take time this week, click on that link, read. She's got a lot of the same sort of things that I have, but it's just very well-written article. So thank you very much, Abby. So as I said, mishpat refers to establishing order, the order that God desired when he first created the world. Jesus' first coming, his birth, was all about establishing the equality, the ability for all nations, for all people, to have the order and to receive what God wanted them to receive at his creation. You know, the scales of justice that are held by Lady Justice, the blindfolded lady outside of the Supreme Court, those scales symbolize the fact that each person, every single person, no matter what they're standing in society, their race, their religion, is judged equally. Mishpat means the same thing. Justice that's impartial, not emotional. The established order that God put forth, everyone has the same penalty for sin, but they also have the same hope for salvation. During Advent, we anticipate and we celebrate the arrival of Christ. He came. He came to provide mishpat for the whole world, justice for the whole world. an evening out of the whole world. By his coming, he established a way that everyone could come to the Father. Jesus' birth was not for judgment. It was for justice. We anticipate and celebrate Christmas because Jesus brought about this justice to every single person. And although every single one of us are sinners, and every single one of us deserve the same penalty, we can live because Jesus provided life for every single one of us. It's a hard concept to grasp, isn't it? It was a hard concept for the Israelites as well. They couldn't imagine that God was sending a Savior for anyone else but themselves. For us, it's the same sort of thing. How could Jesus be coming for murderers? How could Jesus have come for those people that are beheading people in the Middle East? He's here for everyone. But it's a hard concept. It's a really hard concept to understand. You know, but where we stand determines what we see. And what I mean is that the Israelites felt that God should have just come as a Savior for them. And they felt kind of, you know, that if Jesus was that Savior, then because he came for the Gentiles, it couldn't be the Savior for them. Now the Gentiles, the non-Jews are feeling, oh my gosh, what a blessing. God gave us life. He didn't have to. He sent his Son for us. And so, you know, he leveled the playing field for everyone. Let's look back at verses 3 and 4 in Isaiah. It says, in his faithfulness, he'll bring forth justice. He'll not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teachings, the islands will put their hope. When it talks about the islands in other scriptures or in other translations, it talks about the shores or the nations. Jesus' justice means establishing God's order among all nations, among all people, and not merely just righting wrongs that might have occurred. So in the parallel verse, Matthew 12:21, it says, till he brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. The verse in Matthew helps us understand that helps us to understand the justice that Jesus brings about is about reestablishing God's order in the world, reestablishing creation, operating the way that's supposed to have operated in the beginning. God's ideal is that Jesus' coming is part of his plan to restore the relationship between himself and his creation. Isaiah is telling us that the servant is establishing God's justice in the world. Though Jesus' death and resurrection was part of the plan that God had in the beginning, we celebrate Christ's first coming because of the sacrifice that God gave for us, knowing that Jesus' death covered all our sins so that we can be restored to the King and his kingdom. At the same time, we also anticipate Christ's second coming because God's justice and his kingdom will be established forever. Amen. One of the reasons that we celebrate and celebrate Advent, anticipate Christmas the way we do, is also the way that Jesus came on that very first Christmas day. How he came gives us a look at how he is bringing justice about. Let's look again at verse 2 in Isaiah. It says, he will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. There's a graciousness to the way that the Savior came. There's a graciousness to the way that he is going to establish justice. He didn't enter as a conquering king, although he could have. He could have come with a large army of angels. He came as a vulnerable, tiny baby. He established his kingdom through salvation, not through force. And again, as we look at verse 3, it's the same thing. It says, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. Jesus didn't come to destroy those who are already bruised or broken. He came as a servant, as the agent of justice. And he established his justice in a gracious style, not in judgment. In Matthew 12, we see Jesus acting in that same style and spirit of the ideal servant that was sent by God. Jesus doesn't call attention to himself, but he rather directs that attention to the Father. Matthew in chapter 12 is quoting directly from Isaiah 42, 1 through 4, and he's applying it to prove the person of Jesus Christ. It says, "This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here's my servant to whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel nor cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope." So, I've talked a lot about justice, a whole lot. And maybe it's what you thought of when you first came in here, maybe not. Think about it. But what does it mean to us? What is justice, and how do we bring justice for God? Remember when I said, I wonder what it would be like if Christmas were the same for everyone? What would it look like if everyone had the same shot at an amazing Christmas? Everyone does. Everyone has that same shot of knowing Christ. And we can help bring it about. As God's people, we're to bring justice, fairness to an unjust world. Psalm 68:5 says, God is a father to the fatherless, a defender for widows. We, as God's people, can bring justice by caring for the vulnerable. So I encourage you, and I encourage you throughout this Advent season, through the Christmas season and beyond, to just reach out to those that are less fortunate than you and reveal God's justice, his love, to those that are less fortunate than ourselves. You know, God has a special place in his heart for those people. James 1:27 reminds us, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. We participate in Jesus' call into justice by having the right relationships with others, by reaching out. Justice most simply means putting things right again, fixing, repairing, restoring broken relationships. Now, I know that sometimes during the holiday seasons, that can be hard. We're thrust into situations where we're with relatives or friends or, you know, people that we may have a strained relationship with, that we don't normally spend time with. But just as Christ brings justice by restoring our relationship with God, we can do justice by trying to restore those broken relationships as well. So I encourage you, if you have a broken relationship this Christmas, reach out. Try to restore it. Take time to bring God's love to your family, to those that you work with, wherever you are. You know, we all need Jesus, because we all need fixing, right? We all need repairing. And most importantly, we need a restoration of that relationship with God, our relationship with God. And Jesus' ministry of justice starts with that relationship with God, works its way out of who we are and into other people's lives, in the hope that through the example of Christ in us, we're able to experience justice and restoration that Jesus can offer to everyone. So we can help be that avenue for others. You know, basically, it's simple. Justice is looking at what's wrong and trying to figure out a way to make it right. God saw that what was wrong with the world. And you know what? He knew that the only way that he could make it right was by sending his one and only son Mishpat. Justice is just as basic as that. Acting for justice shows that we love who Jesus is, the God of justice. And I pray, I really do, that we as a church would be able to reveal Christ's justice through us. You know, and as I said, I talked with some of the people prior to the message. It's just a hard message for me to get through. It was a hard message for me to really take and unpeel, because I like many of you, looked at justice as, hey, you know, somebody does something wrong and judgment happens. But that's not what it is. And, you know, but if that's the way that you felt and you still have some questions about it, or maybe you haven't experienced God's gift of salvation, and or you just want to talk about it. If you came with somebody, talk with them this morning. If you would like to talk to the elders, talk to me or whoever will be around after service. You know, we just want to be able to answer any questions and help you through that journey. So this Advent season and Christmas season, throughout the year, I ask that we all reveal God's love by bringing Mishpat, the justice, to anyone and to everyone that we encounter. If you pray with me, please. Lord, thank you so much for your justice. Thank you so much for just coming and giving us a gift that we don't deserve. Your ability to be fair is more than we deserve. Lord, help us each and every day to go out and perform mishpat and just to provide justice for everyone that we encounter. Amen.